Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakador Laurie Blake.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Good. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day to you and to the SWAFT Nation.
Thank you very much. I'm saying that on behalf of me.
Our one true loves.
Yeah, I'm saying that on behalf of me and all of the Pod SWAFTers currently listening to this show. What are your plans for Valentine's, man?
Going bowling, mate.
Yes, going bowling, mate.
Going bowling, mate. Yeah, now me and my missus just decided that bowling was a fun thing to do.
Which it is.
Not really big, not really like massively bothered by Valentine's Day and overly elaborate shows of affection. Mm-hmm. So bowling it is.
Bowling it is, mate. Bowling.
Maybe I'll stuff some chocolates in the in the finger holes of her ball or something as sort of a nice gift.
Mm.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Delicious. That's how you do like shows of affection. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just going to hit her in the arm and run away, I think. That was my main sort of goal.
And then write her a note afterwards.
Yeah, it's, I like you.
I like you. Get it, someone else to pass it to.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get one of her friends to tell her, my friend likes you.
Well, that sounds very, very fun.
What about yourself?
My wife and I are going to be having a takeaway. We're going to have a takeaway curry and watch MasterChef.
Oh, yeah.
Because MasterChef is back on TV. It's my second favorite time of the year, apart from when The Apprentice is on, because MasterChef is on, and it's on for months, and it's on multiple times a week, and it's bloody brilliant.
I like MasterChef quite a lot. However, I don't think anyone on MasterChef, one, likes MasterChef, or two, likes each other. I don't think...
Oh, yeah, John,
like,
and,
so
yeah,
John,
yeah.
John and Greg,
yeah,
they don't like
they
each other.
They do not like each other.
But I also feel like that is so obvious because I've never seen them have a conversation in the show. They both talk in non sequiturs at each other, like filmed from two different angles as if they've both come and sat in a room separately at different times. And then they just shout statements that don't run together. His cake was delicious. He's got massive cheeks. Like it just always cuts across each other like that. And it's just like no one ever goes, oh, I see your point, John. But actually, I think his lemon foam was delightful.
Yeah, it's a really weirdly shot show.
Mm.
Really, really weirdly shot. But I kind of love it for that reason. Because you've got John Turode being like super serious and being like, I like the lemon foam. I thought the lemon foam was nice. And then you've got Greg Wallace going like, bags of flavour. Oh, it was delightful. I bloody loved it, John.
It made me tongue tickle.
Oh, it had a... That's very nice, that. Yeah. Oh, I'm very excited for that one.
Oh, it made my belly fizz.
He is a great caricature.
He's a man who I don't think has any professional knowledge about food.
Pretty sure he does.
I don't think he does. I think his professional acumen for food is he likes it.
He does like
food.
He
likes it a lot.
He likes food a lot.
And it produces weird combinations of words to arise from his mouth every time he eats something. Mm. And that is, I mean, he's perfect for this role. I don't know what else he does.
I believe his background is he used to be a market stall man.
Right.
I believe he used to sell food at market stalls.
Pan it, strawberries.
Exactly. Selling bags of flavour, I'd imagine. Yeah. I think that's basically
what
he did.
Can we get some tiny little goblets of juice?
Yep. And all that sort of stuff. 2 for a fiver and all that lark. So I think that's his background. But now he he does MasterChef, but also helps people save on their shopping. Yep. Are you telling me you spend £5 a week on cornflakes? Oh, mate, you have got this all wrong. Here, let me help you. I've saved you £1.50 there. How's that for a bag of apples?
Yeah. Just buy one box of cornflakes and then eat the box. Oh. It's basically the same texture.
So he is for I Bloody... Did you watch MasterChef this week? No, we do also talk about wrestling if you are new to this show as well.
No.
What, you didn't watch it this week?
Not watch MasterChef, no.
Oh, mate, you got to get on it. No. So good. I need someone else in this office who watches MasterChef.
I stopped watching MasterChef at university. After.
What? Oh, man.
I retired victoriously. We all watched the whole season in my first student halls at university, as you do at university, because you just watch rubbish television religiously.
Oh, I mean, Hollyoaks was a regular watch for any student.
But to a point of sort of zealotry that other people don't manage with. Like I would manage with Game of Thrones now, maybe, and that's about the only TV show that I feel sort of like a rabid fan of. Mm. But, mate, I was into MasterChef big time at university, and that's where the lemon foam thing comes from, because the guy who won with a lemon foam. But everyone else wanted this really nice, humble mum to win from, like, somewhere in Cornwall, and they were like, oh, she's so nice, like, she should win, she's so sweet. And I was like, no, fancy man with a lemon foam is going to win MasterChef, and I promise you this. And everyone turned against me, and then I won, and then I said, I'll never watch it again.
Oh, man, you're missing out. Such a great TV show. I need someone in the office who also watches MasterChef, because Ollie doesn't watch it. Datsun's got literally no taste in anything, so he's not watching
it. Well, Datsun will watch it and go, oh, I could cook that better.
I'm better than this. Yeah. Like, he refuses to watch Bake Off because he's a baker. And he's a very good baker.
He's a master baker.
Yeah. Nice.
Nice.
So that's what my wife and I are going to be doing. We're going to have a bottle of wine with some curry and MasterChef.
Watching food, eating food.
Oh.
Perfect evening.
Drinking food, essentially.
It'd only be better if you were bowling.
Pretty much, yeah. Although I am the man, if I do go bowling, I'm like, where's the arcade? Because that's basically, I used to go down to the bowling alley when I was a kid because the arcade was there. It was a Sega World there. So I just want to go to the arcade, mate.
Yeah, true. Well, I mean, if there is an arcade at this one, I'll be finding it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Because, I mean, that's what like everyone's birthday party was when I was a kid. It was either you went bowling or you went to Wimpy.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time at Wimpy.
Oh, I used to bloody love a Wimpy. Yeah. Do you know there's a Wimpy by my house?
What?
No kidding.
They're still doing Knickerbocker Glory.
I've not been in there, granted.
Why not?
Because, I mean, I don't know.
You're literally living down the road from like unbridled nostalgia in the form of limp beef.
God, that side project from Fred Durst really was rubbish, wasn't it?
Limp beef.
Limp beef kit.
Keep flopping. All right.
Yeah,
keep on flopping.
Baby, you know what time it is. It's Wimpy time. I haven't been to a Wimpy. It's probably 2008, I want to say. It was when TNA did a UK tour, and me and my friends went to go see it. And we went to go get some lunch before because we got into London early. And I think it was in London anyway. I'm pretty sure it was in London. No, yes, it was in London. And we were looking for somewhere. And all of a sudden, we found a Wimpy. And we were like, oh, my God, a Wimpy?
My
Gotta
goodness.
Go here. And then you go there and you're like, oh, and this is why loads of Wimpy's shut down. Because the food is like, it's like service station food.
Yeah. But that was the genius of it.
Yeah.
You take the service station food out of the service station. And people are like, it's a revolution.
You
put it on the high street.
Yeah.
Madness.
It's like a Harry Ramsden's.
Do you think Mr. Wimpy still exists?
I don't know if Mr. Wimpy, if he still exists. The Beef Eater. I don't know if he is still part of it.
Well, that's a Google to happen after this.
I did, because I walked past it, because it's on my high street, and they have got like an advert in the window of just like, hey, come taste our burger. Mm. And it'll be like, you know, your standard cheeseburger, but it'll have like a ring of sausage on the burger as well. As a former meat eater, I'd be like, I'd be tempted to give this a go. But I don't know, man. Service station food is, it's fine if you're on a service station. Weirdly. I don't mind it if you're on a service station.
It's
garbage food.
Yeah.
But you're on a service station, so you forgive it a little bit. I don't want that on the high street.
Here's my weird service station claim to fame.
Any sentence that starts with...
Here's my weird... I am Heston Blumenthal, and I did redesign the Little Chef menu. A guy I went to
Little Chef breakfast.
Yeah, a guy I went to school with, his dad designed... Little Chef.
No way.
The character Little Chef.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm.
That is cool. should probably talk about wrestling this year.
Yeah, probably though.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially seeing as everyone's in America and they don't know what Little
like,
Chef
what the
is.
Hell or is a wimpy?
What's a Little Chef? What's a Wimpy?
What's a what Service Station? About? Yeah. What's a Master Chef? What's a Greg Wallace?
Who's John Tyrone? Help me!
But we're going to talk about wrestlers that you probably do know, at least if you watch NXT. Starting off with the Street Profits and whether or not they turned heel. They didn't, but we're going to talk about it anyway. Here's the show. We're going to be talking about a tag team match that happened on the show with the Street Profits against Humberto Carrillo, our boy Humberto, and his mate, not Raul Mendoza.
No. Where's Raul?
Where is Raul? Instead, it was some lad called...
Where in the world is Raul Mendoza?
It was some lad called Stacy Irvin Jr., mm-hmm. who, you know, I think was probably one of those guys that the NXT crowd knows because they've been for drinks with him or something. Like that sort of TNA thing back in the day. Because he got a few Stacy chants when he finally tagged mm-hmm. into the ring. But we're not here to talk about that tag team. We're here to talk about the Street Profits, who came out doing their usual Street Profits stuff, doing the dancing, Montez Ford being the incredible bucket of charisma that he is.
Mm-hmm. Overflowing.
It really is, yeah. Mm. And I'd said bucket, and I suddenly thought, bucket's too small.
Yes.
He needs to be...
An ocean of charisma.
Absolutely. What's the biggest ocean?
A charisma bukkake.
I mean, is that the answer to the question?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, so he's full of charisma. And he comes down. But the story of this match was they were telling... they were a more aggressive mm-hmm. Street Profits. Like when they started off, Montez Ford and Humberto did some wrestling. Wee. Did some sort of like lucha stuff, this, that, and the other. And then Carrillo offers out the handshake and Ford shakes it and then boots him in the gut. And from then on, they really were this aggressive team. They weren't the Street Profits. Like the Street Profits that we've sort of like known mm-hmm. since their debut. This was just like really aggressive, particularly Dawkins. Mm. Like Angelo Dawkins with his stomps in the corner and things like that. It felt like a more heelish Street Profits.
They weren't messing around, I think.
They were
not. I think
not.
Is the key.
Yes.
There was still a bit of like Street Profits. They still did a few different little bits of their stuff. But this definitely was a Street Profits who... They didn't come to play. They just came.
Oh, they did.
They turned up
to
fight. And yeah. Beyond the initial entrance bit where they took the mick out of Cassius Ohno, did all this other stuff, which was really funny.
Really
like
funny.
Normal, very normal Street Profits stuff. But even, I think, they even did their entrance like a little bit more down than usual. Like, you know, they normally do the swing through the ropes and they swing back out and they're like, wah!
Yeah.
Like, they did that a little bit quieter. There wasn't as much dancing in the ring. It was all a little bit more like... Actually, maybe we should take this seriously now.
That's it. And that's what their promos have been leading up to. We've seen promos from them for the last few weeks or so saying that, you know, we want to be in the NXT tag team title picture. And maybe what we need to show is this more aggressive side to us. So, I mean, to answer the question, was this a heel turn? No. They are still very much a babyface tag team. But this was a much more aggressive Street Profits. Mm-hmm. And I'll be interested to see, because Street Profits, I've noticed as a tag team, whenever you and I have discussed them and we've been very praising of them, some of the feedback that we get is not just like, I don't like the Street Profits. It's like, I hate the Street Profits. I hate them so much. Whereas I just think they're ace.
Yeah, I think this was just another example of them being actually fairly dynamic performers and just going, well, we can do a completely different thing. The only real action in this thing that I would say is like a kind of heelish action is the handshake.
Mm.
Like going for the handshake and then laying in a kick while you're still holding the hand, it kind of feels heelish. But the rest of it I just thought was like, this is just like coming out and being like, we're a house of fire now rather than we're not going to mess around. We're not going to do twirly clotheslines in the corner. We're not going to do huge frog splashes. We're actually just going to try and defeat you. And yeah, like Ford did a crotch chop. Before he did the super blockbuster.
Yeah.
It was very much like, we're going to win and you're, you know, you two thrown together guys, one of you from 205 who's just come back for a bit and whoever Stacy Irvin Jr. is, you're nothing to us.
Yeah. Like,
And they cut this promo after the match as well, calling out the War Raiders, essentially. The crowd were chanting, "You deserve it," because they were like, "We want a piece of the action. We want a piece of that gold action. We want some gold around our waist." And this brought out some various other tag teams, which we'll get into in the full review. But even like the promo didn't feel like, hey, guys, we're the Street Profits. Deep deedly doo. This was just like, "No, we're the Street Profits, and we are going to kill you, War Raiders. If you want a war, oh my God, we want a war as well." Probably a bit more threatening than I sounded.
Yeah, it feels like they've gone from sort of like Vine style or Instagram Snapchatty promos to they're now like InfoWars. they've turned up their seriousness by like, "I'm taking everything super seriously."
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, they weren't exactly like InfoWars, I see the point you were making. I've also got to give a shout out as well during this match, because Korea gets the hot tag, but he wasn't the one that did the big old moonsault. Was that Irvin or was it Korea?
It was the tsunami moonsault.
The tsunami salt.
Yeah. That was mad.
Was it Irvin or was it Korea?
It was Irvin that did the moonsault, which was, I think he's a former gymnast of some description. And
I think so, because the air that he
got. Yeah, he just went, whee! But I think also there was a bit of that earlier in the match as well when they did a back suplex. And he went popped up so high for it that he came down on top of his head, and the referee had to get in the way to basically just like, "Don't touch him in case he's concussed." He really had to like push in the way of Montez Ford to be like, "Yeah."
It was crazy because it felt like almost like a package back suplex. Mm. It was an incredible spot. It looked so awesome. Like it was the sort of spot that you're like, "Oh, that could be a finisher." Like, that could be a finishing move to someone, that you adapt something as simple as a back suplex into a devastating maneuver.
Yeah, I don't know if it felt like it was a spot or whether it was just a botch, but, like, I think it helped tell the story with the referee literally getting in the way.
Yes.
To be like, "You got to back off for a second.
For this more
and
aggressive."
And then he carried on, and then he immediately carried on kicking at Irvin when he was down.
Yes. And we've got, like, we've spoken about this before, a very stacked tag division for NXT, because there were three other teams that came down after, well, technically four other teams, I suppose, along with the War Raiders. And it just feels like the NXT, in terms of its tag team division at the moment, has got so many possible contenders to those titles. It's a very, very exciting time. But to answer the question of the title, was that a Street Profits heel turn? I would say no.
I don't think so. I think unless they're going to start cheating, I don't think any of this could be construed as a heel turn.
It's not like when The Mighty turned heel or TM61 turned heel and became The Mighty.
Yeah. If they start stealing other people's cups, then that is a heel. Whoa, give him a cup back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, you've got to keep an eye on that cup.
Ruining the catering area like the Riot Squad. Then we know.
Then we know.
That's how we know that you,
we're no faux
you
show.
Don't mess with dinner.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We've got to do our $25 and above shout outs. I'm just going to move the monitor around ever so slightly. So you haven't got your glasses, have you?
I can see.
You can see them. It's all
right.
My
eyes aren't that bad.
So let's give a shout out to our $25 and above pledgehammers. And of course, remember, if you are one of our pledgehammers, the poll is now open. Well, it's not a poll, it's a form, really, for you to join in Wrestle League.
What?
Predictions war against Laurie, me, and Ollie, and Datsun, and the other Wrestle types. You can compete against WrestleTalk in predictions of who knows the best. YouTube comments bloody loved knowing
who knows the best. Which is the best guesser?
Oh, you could be the best guesser of season one.
Because I'm currently the best guesser.
You are currently the best guesser. You're actually way out ahead. I've got 5 points and you have 8.
Thunderous.
So get involved with that. It's up on our Patreon page at the moment. So you could be any pledge dollar amount to join in on that. But if you want a shout out with your own wrestling nickname, you all you got to do is become one of our $25 and above pledge hammers like... And I ran to Bori.
Yes. Labor.
And then you get a cheap pop as well.
Woo! The astounding Abdullah Alenizizi.
Oh, he is astounding.
And I've done that. I butchered your surname.
Absolutely. The Mountain, Matthew Dennis.
Woo!
Mountain of a man.
Bruiser, Brad Chain.
Oh, what a bruiser.
Whoa.
Big bad Blake Lloyd.
Blake Lloyd!
Oh, Blake Lloyd!
Boom boom. Colt Sample.
Oh, boom boom. Nice. Riding on... and the Sawyer actually suggested a better... Oh, it's too late, Sawyer.
Just
sorry.
Crack on with this one for now.
It was a Rush reference as well. It was really good. You can guess which Rush reference it was. But I'm going with Riding on a Sea Sawyer for now. I promise you, Sawyer, next month, man. Next month.
Laughing... Laura E.
What a laugh. Courageous Caleb. Oh, ooh. Courageous. So courageous.
Driller Killer, David Humphreys. Oh,
dangerous.
That's a good name.
Driller Killer.
Driller Killer. That all is... Driller Killer, no filler killer. Filler killer.
Nice. The show kicked off with Dominik Dijakovic versus Shane Thorne. Oh, this is the first time we've seen Thorne since the mighty quote-unquote split, mm-hmm. where his mate, the other one, can't remember his name. What was his name? Nick Miller. Has gone back home. He's gone back to Australia to be with his family.
That's
and
right.
Yeah. They said that, you know, this is not like a, oh, you've been fired or you've been released. This is a amicable split. When you're ready to come back, the door is ready for you.
Mm-hmm.
What that means next for Shane Thorne remains to be seen. But at the moment, it appears to be you are jobber now. You are essentially,
yeah.
You are Wesley Blake.
Although this didn't feel too jobby to me. Like obviously he did a, you know, he didn't win, but I felt he had a good showing in this match, and I actually liked talking about the Street Profits earlier and saying that they've switched up their aggression. Shane Thorne here was more aggressive than I think I've ever seen him, and I liked this chopping down the big guy. Kind of vibe that he was going for here. He didn't do as many of his normal... Because he was the flippy one of the Mighty. And he didn't do... And they kind of stopped doing quite as many of the flips when they heel turned. But they still did them every so often. And it just felt a bit like, oh, you're just pandering. And here he was just like, no thrills. This is just, I'm going to kick you in the arm and punch you in the arm. Kick you in the arm and punch you in the arm
yeah.
until you can't use it anymore.
That's right,
and
yeah.
it worked really well, I think.
Yeah, I'd like to see from Shane Thorne not to fall into the Wesley Blake example I gave, where Blake just, he did nothing. Like when him and Buddy Murphy split up, like Blake just fell off the face of the earth.
Yes.
And then, you know, it's only until the Forgotten Sons that something started to happen for him. So I really like Shane Thorne, so I don't want him to kind of fall into that role.
No, absolutely not, no.
But this was a really good showing for Dijakovic doing a, he did a somersault out of the corner.
Yeah,
bearing in mind he's like 12 foot two or whatever.
Ridiculous.
It's a big old somersault out of the corner. Then did this springboard twisty bob.
Corkscrew plancha.
Oh, it was great. Really, really cool stuff. And the crowd went nuts for it.
Yeah.
And I would say that the crowd weren't massively into this match. But as soon as this giant of a man does a big springboard, the crowd were on their feet. Feast your eyes. Feast your eyes.
I almost spat my toast out. It was so good.
Oh,
I
was it was cracking.
Goodness me.
And then he hit the, he did the feast your eyes taunt and hit the feast your eyes for the win.
And he's changed the name of that move. It's rubbish.
It's rubbish, isn't it?
It's a terrible name.
It's good for a taunt.
Yeah.
Like, as a catchphrase of feast your eyes, but then don't call the move the same thing.
Well, exactly. And then I think, because then otherwise, because he's also turning into a bit of a catchphrase machine, because he's also got time to fly. He's like, he's a Street Fighter character, basically. Like, there was a point when I was watching the match, he's like, he looks like Sagat. Like,
he does, actually. Yeah, you're right. Like, yeah, he's got a bit of Sagat about him.
The other thing I thought was funny about this match was when they introduced Dijakovic and they said he's from Massachusetts, like, in his intro. And then immediately Nigel's like, the big Croatian. And it's like, from the big Croatian from Massachusetts.
I was going to say, you can still be Croatian, just be from Boston.
Yeah, fine. But, like, I just think if we're going this far to change his surname to sound more foreign, say he's the big Croatian lad, pretend he's from Croatia.
It works for Lana.
Yeah, let's just go for it.
Don't call a CJ Perry, say she's from Russia. And I believe she's still the ravishing Russian, despite the fact she is definitely doing her CJ Perry voice now, not her Lana voice.
She every so often remembers to do fake Russian.
Rusev, you need to go over there, man. So that was a good little show.
Total Divas getting in the way of that, though.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't do a Russian accent for the entire time you're on Total Divas. It's exhausting. Just have to be CJ Perry.
So good showing for Dijakovic there. We then got a backstage promo with the Undisputed Era. Really cool. Four of them standing in a line, which could have looked really goofy, but the way that they shot it made it look pretty cool, actually. And they were talking about how their 2019 has not got off to the best of starts.
Not really.
No, I mean, they keep bloody losing, and they've lost the tag titles, you know, which is, you know, not a particularly great start for them as a group. And then
it's not what you'd want.
Cole lost in the main event as well. Spoilers for the main event. So their bad luck continues. But it's sort of about, like, you know, it's
they're not doing very well with their New Year's resolutions.
Absolutely.
No, February.
I was going to say, in February, man, you're not dripping with gold yet. it's sort of about, you know, ups and downs and speed bumps. And they're going to regain the tag team championships. The crucial point to this promo, though, was announcing that it's going to be Fish and O'Reilly again as the tag team. The tag team of O'Reilly and Strong is no longer. Strong is going to be going off as the singles guy along with Cole, and O'Reilly and Fish are going to be back as the tag team. Red Dragon have reformed.
That is good news.
Isn't it just?
I mean, O'Reilly and Strong were a great tag team. I also believe that Strong and Fish would be a fantastic... Strong Fish would be a great tag team. But
Strong Fish.
Strong Fish.
A Pokemon, I think. Butcher. I've caught that one.
I don't think they name them so simply.
I was thinking of Digimon. That's what they were.
Strongfishmon.
Yeah.
So I just think it'd be nice to see Roddy go off and do singles titles as well, because he's very believably the sort of North American champion style mold that NXT likes. Like, especially before he joined Undisputed Era, had they had that belt at the time, he would have been one of the people in that picture. When it was just Johnny and basically him.
Yeah, yeah.
Going backwards and forwards every week.
Yeah, I know, I completely agree. So I thought it was a really strong promo from all of them. And Cole said the 2019 will be the year of the Undisputed. You know, there's still months left.
It didn't finish the sentence, that's why, because Undisputed, rubbish. Yeah.
Then we got that tag team match of Humberto Carrillo and Stacey Irvin Jr. versus the Street Profits. But before the match could get started, you had Carrillo and Irvin in the ring. And all of a sudden, here comes Cassius Ohno. Mm. Cassius Ohno has come out to cut what is... It's essentially the Alexa Bliss promo, which is... I was just checking that we're still recording there.
Yeah, me too.
It was the Alexa Bliss... Alexa Bliss promo. Alexa Bliss. Or the Carmella promo of just like, I'm a babyface. You're all silly. You're all dumb. You're all smelly. And I hate every single one of you.
You all fell for it.
And you all fell for it. You know, he said he's been here for 2 years, but it's not been a good 2 years. And he's like, this is the notorious Full Sail crowd, but you all make me sick.
Yeah. So I'm going to go elsewhere and prove that I'm the best at this.
Yeah. And this is like, I'd be very interested to see where they're going to go with this.
He said he's the best ever to do it, actually, didn't he?
Yes.
Rather than like, I don't think he'd mentioned wrestling prior to that. So to do it.
Well, it is Valentine's
Cassius
Day.
Ohno. So, sex god.
Yeah, so where this goes from here is going to be very interesting. Like, I'd like to see them use the relationships they've got, like maybe send them to NXT UK or even to Evolve, to OTT, to any of these ones that they've got these relationships with. Just have them there for a stretch, but do video packages based around that to be like, Cassius Ohno's been up to this
as of late in X promotion. Yep. He has won this belt in Y promotion over
sure,
here.
Yeah.
Which I think would be really cool.
Well, they're doing that more and more. Ciampa's going to somewhere.
He's going back to his original, like at a promotion he worked for.
Chaotic or
something like that.
I think it's Chaotic, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Street Profits, I think, I might be wrong on this one, but they were the Evolved Tag Team Champions at one point. They might still be. That was the point I was going to make. So there is every opportunity for them to like work with one of these companies and send Cassius there and continue this storyline.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but he got beaten up by Keith Lee. Bless his heart.
Yeah. That was, I thought Keith Lee was brilliant here. I loved his little promo at the end.
Oh, God, it was great. Yeah, because he's about to leave and he's like, I'm going to go somewhere because I'm the best to ever do it. Keith Lee comes up behind him and it's the rolling elbow.
Yeah.
And then Keith, like, oh no, selling of this, like this elbow. It's like he died. It's like someone, like the grassy knoll. Someone just shot him and just fell backwards. And Keith Lee just comes up and
the
just
rolling
goes,
elbow would have ricocheted at that point.
And he just grabs the microphone and goes, oh no.
Oh no. Or should it be, oh my God.
It is
brilliant. It was really good. And he got, oh, basket is glory.
I do miss Keith Lee at Rev Pro shows, it's got to be said. But, yeah, I believe that Keith Lee, at some point in these tapings, debuts his new entrance theme song, which I've not heard yet. Mm-hmm. I know it's available.
Saving it for the week.
Yeah, I know it's available on YouTube, but I've not heard it yet. From what I can gather, it's better than his old entrance music, though that was not difficult.
No.
No, absolutely not.
I like the thing, it's when he came out and said, I could have come out here and hit you in the dangly bits.
Like
you did to me. And then he just said, pardon the interruption, let's get on with the show. I loved it. It was a great little bit. And then the Prophets came out as he was on stage and they were like really like, and then again, this plays into their sort of new aggressive characters as we were mentioning earlier. They came out and they were really like, you did that. And then they're giving fist bumps to Lee and then Ford took the mick out of Ono. It was all just like, They were actually just respecting the idea that someone had taken matters into their own hands.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, we're goofy and messing around. They were like, being like, well, you've been bested now by someone actually just taking a bit of revenge and taking a bit of action on their own.
Yeah.
That's how I read it anyway.
I thought this was a really, really cool spot. I thought Lee was awesome. As you said, like he told Ono not to let the door hit him on the ass on the way out. And then, then he turns to the tag team and it's just like, apologies for the, for the interruption. And then to the fans, apologies for the interruption. He is wonderful.
He's great.
He's got to get something decent.
He needs more mic time, is what he needs.
Because Lee debuted at NXT. I want to say it's the Chicago show last year because it wasn't the Brooklyn one because I was around for it. So I'm going to guess it was the Chicago show. So that's a long time because that's May, June.
Yeah.
You know, that's a long time to be in NXT and not do anything. Like, aside from a couple of squash matches, losing to Lars Sullivan, the last time we saw Lars in WWE, bless his heart, and losing to Ono, of all people, even with Ono cheating.
Yeah.
It's not been a great run for Keith Lee.
No. And I think it's that problem is that actually NXT's now reached the point of saturation in the same way that Raw and SmackDown probably have with roster.
SmackDown have it, at least anyway. Raw's desperate for talent.
Yeah, but Raw had people, but they just squandered them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all wanted to leave.
And they were like, do you know who needs a push? Baron Corbin.
Yeah, exactly.
More Baron Corbin main events.
Hey,
that's
I like
what Raw
Baron
needs.
Corbin. But over on SmackDown, yeah, they've reached that sort of point of saturation where there's so much talent and not a lot for them to do that they have to make up these kind of feuds. And the problem is the only way to really do that when there's no belt on the line is you got to be cheated on or someone has to trick you or you have to lose and you have to fight for your honor. And I just think once you reach that point, maybe they need another belt.
Oh, their last thing that WWE needs is another bloody belt. Crikey.
But maybe they need some sort of cross-promotional thing where there could be a feud in NXT that relates to the NXT UK title. Or there could be feuds in, you know, there could be sort of pushing for more like number one contender style stuff as well. We keep moving the people who were just the champions down into number one contenders roles rather than rotating a new crop of people up.
Yeah.
And actually, because the people who were already champions and already doing stuff probably could go down for like 2 months just having cool matches and talking about the title. But it doesn't need to be like immediately this week, Adam Cole and Ricochet are talking about being number one contender again for the North American title when we've got stuff coming up next week for the North American title.
Exactly, yeah. And actually, that's a nice little segue there, talking about the tag team division, because Street Profits were cutting this promo. Out comes the European Union of Marcel Bartel and Fabian Aichner.
Nine.
He just goes, 999, which I thought was really
cool. He was calling the emergency services.
That's a joke for our British viewers. Doesn't really work for our American ones.
Which is 999.
Nice. And he talks about, like, you know, the only people who really deserve an opportunity at the tag team titles are them, so stand aside. And this brings out Lorcan and Birch, who were... They were not looking to cut a promo. They would just get it in the ring to just be like, hello. Yeah.
Here's our muscle mass.
Here is...
I'm cross!
We are so stocky, and we are ready to have a fight with you. And
Lorcan is jack.
Isn't he?
Oops. Oh, God.
Oh, sorry. Oh, terrible. That was your fault, that last one.
I'm looking over all the figurines.
I was... Like, this brought out the War Raiders, and they were like, you know, I see an awful lot of talk in this ring... But no fighting.
Ooh.
Oh, that was cool. Mm-hmm. That was, and they were like, you know, if we're right here, if you want to make a move. And the War Raiders start to storm down to the ring, but the bloody Undisputed Era attack them from behind. But even with the Undisputed Era attacking them from behind and War Raiders going into the ring at a disadvantage, they still stood tall.
They cleared house.
They cleared house of everyone.
Yeah, this I thought this was really cool. I like the Undisputed Era still stat. Like, it made sense to attack from behind, push them into the ring for the other guys to beat them down, and then walk away. It's just like, it's still just their character work is so good. They clearly, like, the NXT writing staff and those guys get who these four men are meant to be and what they're meant to be doing, and they still somehow manage to be completely over all the time, in spite of being just like scared.
Yeah, exactly.
All the time of everything.
Yeah, like the Undisputed Era really sold this idea of just like, guys, we set this up for you and you managed to balls it up. I mean, some might argue that it kind of buries the tag team division slightly because Undisputed Era just wiped them all out single-handedly.
Mm-hmm.
But I
War Raiders, you mean?
Sorry, did I say Undisputed Era? Yeah. I meant War Raiders. I think that was clear, but, you know, you're right. I was wrong. And it was... Yeah, so I think that... It's good for them to stand tall. They are meant to be the dominant tag team. And so I thought it was a really cool showing for them. And I imagine we're going to head to a Four Corners tag thing for the number one contendership.
That would be cool.
Yeah,
that'd
for
be
the
very cool.
For the next
takeover. You want to make the War Raiders feel a bit unassailable now because they've not lost, have they? I don't think they've lost.
I don't want to go on record and say that because I said Kofi Kingston's not been in a elimination chamber, and it turns out he's been in bloody loads of them.
Yeah, but that's Kofi. It's different. I feel like with the War Raiders, I think the War Raiders have a bit of a mystique about them as well, of just being this sort of wrecking crew, heavy machinery. But like, yeah, I think it should be who is going to be the next tag team to come in and sort of take this off them. And now either it's going to be Undisputed Era, and that makes it a really big deal. Or is there someone new?
I'd like to see it be someone new. Mm. I'd like it to be someone like a Street Profits. I'd like it to even Lorcan and Birch get another shot.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really cool to. Probably too early for Aichner and Bartel.
Yeah.
But of the other teams, I'd go for Street Profits or the Art Bastards.
Mm-hmm.
We then got a video package and a promo for Johnny Gargano, sort of like recapping him winning the NXT North American Championship and being at the Royal Rumble. It's about like it's the only
Johnny's good weekend.
Yeah, the only person who knows what's best for Johnny Gargano is Johnny Gargano. I thought this was really, really cool, and he's going to be defending that title next week against the Velveteen Dream. Coming up next was a segment that you were not a fan of.
Yeah.
Because it was Tainara Conti versus Aaliyah. Yeah, so...
There was a moment in my notes when Tainara Conti came out, and my note just says, oh, Tainara Conti's still in NXT.
Mm.
And then seconds later, Aaliyah comes out, and I went, oh, my God.
God, are you still here?
Well, they've been digging in the closet.
Bless her, huh?
Right down the back, they found an Aaliyah.
It seems that Aaliyah's been in NXT
forever.
Forever. It feels like now she's starting to find a character. But I feel like I've said this before. It feels like every time I see Aaliyah on TV, she's got a new character.
I feel like her character has always been that she wears designer clothing. And
but she was the
kind
cat
of the character.
Person for a while. She wore like the cat ear things, and she was like the cat's got the cream or some nonsense. It just feels like she's always got a new character every time she comes out.
I loved this as well because they were like, that's her. Like I've seen for a while, she's been doing sort of the designer clothes thing, and they were saying like Donatella Versace made her outfit for tonight, and she's on the top of the ropes doing this, and there's like frayed hems on all this clothing. I was like, Donatella Versace is not going to be happy. And then the ref kicks the jacket out of the ring. I was like, mate, I've seen the assassination of Gianni Versace, and she is not someone you want to get on the wrong side of.
Mate, Donatello Versace needs to be just focused on building machines. It's what he's good at. I love this as well. When Tanyora Conti makes her entrance, she's got like her black belt for judo or whatever it is. Taekwondo, whatever.
Judoka.
Yeah, it's, whatever.
It's just judo, mate.
I'm not going to claim I know what it is. She's from Brazil. I know this much. And she takes off her black belt, which I gather is impressive. Because I've heard that before. And she like shows it to the ring announcer, and the ring announcer almost does like an Alan Partridge shrug and be like, whatever. It's really made me
sure.
Laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it really felt like, cool. Mm-hmm. Who are you again?
I feel like there must be quite a few black belts in WWE.
Yeah.
Like somewhere in there. There's got to be a few.
The other side of this as well is that I'm sure being a black belt in something is cool. And yeah. I think if anyone is a black belt in something, they could easily kick my ass because I'm not a black belt in anything.
No.
I'm a black belt in podcasting.
I'm a black belt, brown shoes kind of guy.
That's, yeah. I can't do anything of this sort of nature. But, you know, Bruce Pritchard's also a black belt and he doesn't look that cool. Like, you know what I mean?
I think that's the thing, is there's a lot of other nicer belts going around in WWE. So coming in and showing your sort of plain cloth belt is not as impressive as coming in having the UK title hanging out your mouth.
Absolutely. But basically the story of this match was that Vanessa Bourne, also, talk about somebody who's been in NXT forever, Vanessa Bourne comes out of nowhere and she trips Conti on the outside. Aaliyah locks in a submission and she wins.
Total Aaliyah Nation.
Total, is that what the move's called?
I believe so.
That's a great name.
It is a good name.
It is a good name. She gets something at the very least. So she locks in her wacky submission and she gets the win. And they were kind of setting up this story that Aaliyah and Bourne are now in cahoots. They're a unit. They are a team. Mm-hmm. Cool. That's fair enough. They were then to make look like complete and utter jokes because Baszler and the Horsewomen run down and beat the crap out of them and leave everyone laying. And I'm like, well, this tag team has got off to a hot start.
Oh, yeah.
You've been beaten up by Shafir and Duke, who have yet to get a win.
True. And I think but this is obviously like a minor bit of setup for the purposes of having a few qualifying matches to be like, well, you're going to be the tag team we put forward for whenever there is a wider women's tag team championship tournament or something, you know.
If there is.
Padding this roster with rando tag teams now. We're going to dig up any woman that we can find who's been in NXT, go through the whole closet, like,
and who knows what they'll find.
Yeah, that's going to be it. Like, Aaliyah just come out mothballs all over her. It's like, shake her off. In the ring you go. Like, it will just be that with some other team now. So then they've got a few teams to have a little televised tournament, give Duke and Shafir some people to go in the ring against, and then they'll be against the Sky Pirates, no doubt, for the opportunity to face whoever for the women's tag belts at some point.
Well, I'd like to think so anyway. Yeah.
But I think this is just future planning that we had to watch.
Yes. So like, Baszler comes down and the three of them beat up the other three women in the ring. They show off their new, I guess is their new tag team finisher, which I'll be honest, looks a bit rubbish.
It's slow and the kick is not hard enough.
Yeah, it looked a bit crap. I mean, I get it's developmental and not everything is going to look great, but this looked a bit crap.
But I think like it's weird to do the fireman's carry and then flip them over and then have them land on their feet perfectly comfortably and then kick them. It's like, what's the flip for?
Right. I this is the same issue I had. This is on the Patreon podcast when we review Elimination Chamber. Kofi's boom drop is the dumbest move I've ever seen because he runs against the ropes, runs up to his opponent and stops.
Yeah.
And then claps and drops his legs. Like, well, you may as well have just stood still, mate, because you've just stopped all momentum.
No, because what he was doing was he was warming his legs up for the jump. Otherwise, he would never get the height required to land the boom drop properly.
Dumbest move.
Yeah, so I thought this move would be way cooler. One, if Jessamyn Duke actually just kick them. Like, just hard. Like, do a Matt Riddle, just kick them.
Yep.
And also, I think if Shafir did something more like, you know how Bayley and Sasha have been doing the backstabber Bayley to belly combination, which doesn't really work. But if you did that and they pop up and they just eat a kick in the face, I'm into that. Because the backstabber one is a bit clunky because it's like, pop up, hug, this move. And the Bayley to belly is, honest to God, the worst finisher of all time. But popping them up into a kick of any description would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And just do something like the high-low. Like,
yeah.
That's a very simple martial arts-based seeming finishing move that yeah. tag teams can do. Do that.
Absolutely.
Don't overcomplicate things with being like, I'll pick them up and then I'll put them down and now you're allowed to kick them while they are confused, I guess?
Yeah. Like, it's like on the old WWE games when you could create a finisher and you hear those stories about people who would just like pick them up, put them down, pick them up, put them down, yeah. pick them up, put them down, because you've got like 20 spots that you can
use. You just link it forever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it basically cuts a promo because they lay out Conti and says that telling people not to get in their way or piss them off. Good promo from Baszler. She is the star of the group, so it's fine that she's the one that looks the best. And she's got like this cool slam that she does now.
Yeah, that was the cool thing. Like, as soon as she took over the actual beatdown, it was like, oh, this is someone this is someone who doesn't care about it like being safe. Like she was being safe, but she just was practiced enough to just sort of run full pelt at someone in the corner and be like, here's my knee. She's I present awesome. You my knee.
She's so good.
She's really good.
Velveteen Dream also got a video package and promo based around Worlds Collide, showing his journey through winning Worlds Collide and getting that North American Championship shot next week. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got our main event segment of the evening, which was Ricochet versus Adam Cole, a rematch from Brooklyn last year. And this was, here's a shocker, very, very good. This was excellent, excellent TV wrestling, all built around Cole working over the leg because Ricochet got it caught in the ropes very early on in the match in the corner. And Cole was just like, cool, I've now got something I want to target.
Yeah, it was really clever and it was really good.
Yeah.
Like there were so many good bits of just like every time Ricochet started fighting back, Cole would just kick the leg out from underneath him and Ricochet selling so good.
Man, I was so... Like, he would do things like just... He would go to do his usual spots like he was almost in autopilot, like a big roll-through thing, forgetting that his leg was hurt, and then would just buckle under the weight of the leg or something like that.
So I he did his, like, Northern Lights roll-through trying to do the suplex.
And the deadlift suplex.
And, was like, and fell down. Like, there was quite a few bits where he tried to, like, go for, like... Is it... He's calling... He does, like, a Michinoku driver, isn't it? And he's calling...
The cradle shock.
Yeah,
it's basically the cradle shock.
Yeah, it was called Vertigo or something, was it in this? But
yeah.
He was going for that and his knee gave out and then a few other bits where like he does, we've all seen him do it before, but like the springboard, the one-legged springboard splash, all that kind of stuff.
And he did that to Cole's legs as well. Mm. And I thought Nigel covered for that really well because it was excellent selling by Ricochet in that he wants to do this big springboard, but his leg gives out. So he doesn't get the full distance, he doesn't really get a lot of height and it almost like just falls into the leg. And that could have looked rubbish. I mean, it looked great because it felt real and it felt authentic. Mm-hmm. But you've also got that coupled with Nigel's brilliant commentary when he's like, well, he hasn't got the leg. Like, he didn't hit it where he intended to hit it because his leg is hurt. I thought Nigel was great on the commentary. I'm a big fan of
Nigel McGuinness. McGuinness is fantastic.
They did a yay boo spot with kicks. Like, let's do various flipping kicks as a yay boo spot. Loved it. And they got a really great near fall off a super kick from Adam Cole to end that off. But eventually Ricochet hits a Frankensteiner and an axe kick. There's his roll through deadlift. Cradle shock got the win. Tremendous match.
Yeah,
loved it.
Really, really, really good.
Really, really great professional wrestling. And then after the match, the UE. I kept doing this when I was writing my notes earlier because I was talking about
UE
like,
boom.
Because I kept talking about like Undisputed Era, but just writing UE. Mm. But when I was talking about the European Union, I'm writing EU. I looked at my notes, I was like, I can't do this.
I don't know what's happening.
I'm going to confuse myself here if I keep
this
up. But they run down after the match and they beat up Ricochet. And then Aleister Black comes down to make the save, but they lay him out as well. Mm-hmm. And the Undisputed Era stand tall. And you got, I believe it was Mauro Ranallo saying, they may not be dripping in gold, but they're dripping in attitude.
Mm.
Good stuff. Good edition of NXT. Enjoyed
it. Yeah, really, really liked it, apart from that one match that just didn't really do anything. But I think the rest of it was very, very smart. Good booking. Excited to see what happens next week.
Yes, very
excited
to see what happens next
week. Which is all you could really want from a show, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. A thumbs up show all round. I got this email here from Russell, who says, good evening, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie, brackets, but most definitely not Randy Datsun.
Never Randall K. Datsun.
So this is a correspondent / Rusev Hay. And he writes, I was watching German television at the weekend and was a bit taken aback when I saw an advert for this coming Sunday's pay-per-view. Instead of advertising Elimination Chamber, the show was titled No Escape Instead. It didn't take long for me to figure out why it might be promoted slightly differently in Germany. I also have a Rusev Hay that might that you might enjoy. Back in 2015, I was given free tickets to a TNA show at the Hydro in Glasgow. Not being a massive fan, the gratis nature of the briefs was that was the only reason I was there. Sorry, I read that sentence terribly. I was so fascinated by doing Glasgow in such an accent. The night before the event, I was having a few beers in Finiston. I'm going to guess that is Finiston, the area of Glasgow nearest the venue. He went there after work, and who should walk into Lebowski's but one of the only TNA wrestlers I was even remotely interested in seeing the next night, Samoa Joe.
Whoa.
He was in there with another big lad who I didn't recognize and a skinny wee lad who must have worked backstage. Could have been Spud.
Yeah, maybe.
Around that time, it could have been Spud. Lebowski's is pretty famous in Glasgow for the rather large menu of White Russian cocktails. No, seriously, there's about 25 of them on it.
Hence the name Lebowski?
I guess, yes, it would make, that was his drink of choice.
That was his drink of choice.
I've only had a White Russian once, and that was when I went to a Ghostbusters immersive screening.
Yep.
It was Secret Cinema before they were Secret Cinema, when they were Future Cinema, I think they were called.
Yep.
And they did an interactive screening of Ghostbusters, which for my money is the best thing they've ever done. I know they've gone like big and grand with The Empire Strikes right. Back and this, that, and the other. But that Ghostbusters screening.
So, sorry, why were they doing White Russians at this event?
Because that was the Stay Puff
drink. Oh my God, it's ectoplasm.
And it was the Stay Puff drink, because white.
Okay. Fine, sure. Yes.
And it was actually delightful.
I really like a White Russian. Bold move. I think we should change brunch options from mimosas and Bloody Marys to Bloody Marys and White Russians, because it is a fantastic breakfast drink.
Mm.
Breakfast being one of the only times in a day that I would probably just drink milk.
Yeah.
Milk plus vodka
and
a bit of Kahlua. I'm in.
I'm going to do a bit of Googling live on air, because there was a cocktail that I had while I was out in Canada. Mm. I was trying to remember what it was called, and it's called a Caesar cocktail. It's the Canadian Bloody Mary.
So it's a mashed up chicken Caesar blended up, and you have it like a sort of juice cleanse.
And this from the ecenglish.com. It typically contains vodka, clamato, a blend of tomato juice and clam broth, hot sauce, and Worcestershire sauce. And it is served with ice in a large celery or salt rimmed glass, typically garnished with a stalk of celery and a wedge of lime. Got to be honest, it was delightful.
I mean, it is basically a Bloody Mary, apart from the clamato. Like, yes. Yeah, that's the only.
Oh, mate. Demi Clamato, I'll have a bit of that.
Yeah, give me some Demi. A little drop of Demi in my drink, thank you. I couldn't get on board with just like, it's just rando fish juice in your drink. I'm sorry, like.
Do you mind that?
Drop of rando fish juice? No, thank you.
Sounds like the Flaming Homer. It fell in by accident.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the email. My friends and I bought witness to Mr. Joe demolish what must have been 17 or 18 of the White Russian concoctions. Before he left, I shook his hand, told him I was a fan, and congratulated him on what I had just witnessed. He then joked that he doesn't see the word menu, but instead reads it as challenge. That's great. As an aside, Jeremy Borash, you might have been the skinny lad you saw. As an aside, Jeremy Borash was in the same pub the whole time with who I assumed was his wife, but neither party acknowledged the other, despite both being there for hours. Weird. On the night of the show, I got a picture with Dixie Carter, brackets for some reason. I can tell you a reason why. It's because she just walks the floor looking for people to take pictures with her. I had my picture taken with Dixie Carter at a TNA show. That one I was talking about earlier with the Wimpy. She was very nice.
The Wimpy was more exciting.
Actually, in all fairness to Dixie Carter, I buried her a little bit there, but she was bloody lovely. And I really enjoyed our interaction with her. I was a massive TNA mark at the time, so I was just like so into the idea of meeting Dixie Carter.
Ah,
she was one of the first people I ever followed on Twitter.
Oh.
When I joined I think I joined in 2007. She was one of the first people I followed on Twitter. It was her, Kevin Smith, and Yahtzee Croshaw, the guy who does zero punctuation.
Yeah, yeah. But that's a very slice of its time set of followings there.
Isn't it just? Although I was watching Zero Punctuation before we recorded this, because I still watch his videos.
He's great.
He is awesome. Anyway, on the night I got a picture with Dixie Carter, who was very nice and complimented me on my tartan scarf. A scarf that I either drunkenly left on my chair when I left, or that she surreptitiously stole while I was at the bar. Here is said picture. I did try sneak one with Joe out and about because, well, why would I when I value my health? And there is a picture of our friend Russell with Dixie Carter and said scarf.
That's a great scarf.
It is a nice
scarf. I would
have
nabbed that.
Yeah. Dixie Carter looks exactly the same there as she did when I had my picture taken with her in, I believe, 2008.
She's timeless.
She is timeless. Yeah. Keep up the consistency from your Scottish pal, Russell. Thank you very much for the email, Russell.
Thanks, Russell.
Great, great Rusev Hay. Got a couple of other bits of general bobs and about.
We were talking about a phrase.
It could be.
Keep working it. Fetch won't catch on, Luke.
Stop making fetch happen. But we do actually have to get out of here, unfortunately, because we've got to record our Elimination Chamber predictions because those are happening. It's happening this Sunday, isn't it? Yeah. So we've got to do
Spoiler alert, I'm just going to pick that all the champions retain.
I think I'm more or less going the same route, to be honest. I think we're on the side of caution.
Nothing will happen.
Hey, you never know. Ruby Riott might pull it out of the bag and get a win.
No. Get out.
She may do
it. She might do.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey slips on some mustard and the match is over.
But before we get out of here, we've got a joke here. This one comes in from Mark. I heard this joke today and I thought it might be dumb enough to get a reaction. What is Jesus wearing T-shirts? What is Jesus wearing jeans and a T-shirt doing all day? Blessing in disguise. Good one, Mark.
Good one, Mark.
Connor also sent it in this joke, but I think the question is wrong.
Right.
I think the setup is wrong.
You
the punchline.
Messed the feed line up.
Well, I think the feed line's wrong, so I'm gonna amend the feed line.
Okay.
So why did the baker ask to borrow some money?
I don't know.
Because he needs the dough. Needs the dough, like kneading dough.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
I saw the spelling in my head.
Yes. Only Connor put it as, why did the farmer ask for money? Yeah. I don't think farmers are famous for kneading dough.
No.
No.
Because he squeezes the milk out of a cow? Was that a dairy maid? Does that? I don't know.
That's Scooby-Doo, mate. No. Anyway, we need to get out of here because we've got to record some other prediction stuff. We've got to record more content
for you fine people.
Thank you so much for listening. Do become one of our pledge hammers over on Patreon because you get to be part of Wrestle League where you can compete against us in predictions. Who knows the most? You could be one of those people that knows the most. I'm going to apologise for Laurie Blake singing the Thunderbirds
trying to make it epic.
It's fine, but there's also music playing underneath this part of the podcast. So there's going to be people listening to music, listening to me talking, and listening to you doing other music.
Fine.
I'm sure it's going to sound great.
It'll be great.
We are all about the good content.
Yeah, I could do it louder. I was doing it quiet. I was doing like a low background for you.
I think low key, not the wrestler, low key, you and I make the best content here when it comes to the podcast. I just think it might be the case.
Well, there you go.
Well, you know. Anyway, Ollie will be back on the next podcast. But then on the Saturday podcast, the magazine show, it's going to be me and Laurie again doing more great content.
What?
Because Ollie is he's at VidCon, meeting all of his favourite influencers.
I have not been told about this.
That he's going to VidCon.
Well, I've been told about that. I wasn't told that I was doing a Saturday show.
Oh, yeah, guess what we're doing tomorrow.
Hey! Yeah, all right, well, fine.
Yeah, we're doing the magazine show tomorrow because Ollie's not here. Because he's at VidCon, meeting... Oh, this shows my age now, because I can't even think of a single person who's on YouTube.
Rhett and Link.
Is that the one that Datsa watches?
Yeah.
Tech
Good
writers?
Mythical Morning.
Zoella. Does she still do YouTube?
Yeah.
Does she?
Yeah.
I just thought she'd be grown out of it by now.
PewDiePie?
He's a one.
Dan TDM.
Yeah, bless you. I think Jim Sterling's there. He's one I watch. I'm sure he's going to meet all of them.
Poppy, was that she won? She was
one. The one who's part of the Illuminati?
Yeah, Illuminati Poppy.
Yeah, her as well.
She was one.
Anyway, so we'll see you next time. Take care. Love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.